Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshavuram Balitam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Manobistam Sabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Gurung Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brinda Vanishwari Rishabana Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Dharubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Sri Lesa Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So, Canto 6, Chapter 15, entitled Narada and Angira instruct King Chitraketu. So, verse 23 is on the board there. We'll chant that. But I've been requested to comment on verses 20 to 23. But we'll start by chanting this. Please repeat. Sarve. Pi surase neme shoka moha vayatitaha kandava nagara prakhya swapna Maya Manoratha Sarve Pi Surase Neme Shoka Moha Bhayatidaha Gandhava Nagara Prakhyata Swapna Maya Manoratha Sarve pi surase neme Shoka moha bhayatidaha Kandava nagara prakritya Swapna maya manorataha. Okay, please repeat. We'll just do the word for word for this particular verse. Please repeat. Sarve. All. Api. Indeed. Moha. Of illusion. Bhaya. Of fear. Arti. And distress. Taha. Givers. Gandhava Nagara Prakritya. Headed by the illusory sight of a Gandhava Nagara, a big palace, everyone, a big palace, within the forest. Swapna, dreams. Maya, illusions. Manorataha, and the concoctions of the mind. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, well, we'll go back to verse 20 and read the English. And then we can all repeat the four verses together. Then you'll get the benefit. When I first came to your house, this is Angira Muni, I could have given you supreme transcendental knowledge. But when I saw that your mind was absorbed in material things, I gave you only a son who caused you jubilation and lamentation. My dear king, now you are actually experiencing the misery of a person who has sons and daughters. O king, owner of the state of Shurasena, one's wife, his house, the opulence of his kingdom, and his various other opulences and objects of sense perception are all the same in that they are temporary. One's kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends and relatives are all causes of fear, illusion, lamentation, and distress. They are like a Gandhava Nagara, a non-existent palace that one imagines to exist in the forest. Because they are impermanent, they are no better than illusions, dreams, and mental concoctions. Please repeat. When I first came to your house, I could have given you supreme transcendental knowledge. But when I saw that your mind was absorbed in material things, I gave you only a son who caused you jubilation and lamentation. My dear king, you are actually experiencing the misery of a person who has sons and daughters. O king, owner of the state of Surasena, one's wife, his house, the opulence of his kingdom, and his various paraphernalia and opulences and objects of sense perception. Very tired today, everyone. Vigorously repeat. Are all temporary. One's kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends and relatives are all Gandhava Nagara, a non-existent palace that one imagines to exist in the forest. Because they are impermanent, they are no better than illusions, dreams, and mental concoctions. The poet Srila Prabhupada. This verse describes the entanglement of material existence. In material existence, the living entity possesses many things. The material body, children, wife, and so on. Deha, paccha, kala, trideshu. One may think that these will give him protection, but that is impossible. In spite of all these possessions, the spirit soul has to give up his present situation and accept another. The next situation may be unfavorable, but even if it is favorable, one must give it up and again accept another material body. In this way, one's tribulations in material existence continue. A sane man should be perfectly aware that these things will never give him happiness. One must be situated in his spiritual identity and eternally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee. Angira Rishi and Narada Muni gave this instruction to King Maharaj Chitraketu. Sarvepi surasene me sokamoha bhayatidaha kandava nagara prakrityaha satna maya manorataha. So, my dear king, now you are actually experiencing the misery of a person who has sons and daughters. O king, owner of the state of Surasena, one's wife, house, opulence of his kingdom, and his various other opulences and objects of sense perception are all the same in that they are temporary. One's kingdom, military power, treasuries, servants, ministers, friends and relatives are all causes of fear, illusion, lamentation and distress. They are like a Gandhava Nagara, a non-existent palace that one imagines to exist in the forest. Because they are impermanent, they are no better than illusions, dreams, and mental concoctions. Yes, so now Chitraketu, his son has been poisoned by the other wives. The Chanaka Pandit says that women generally, not our ISKCON Matajis of course, have 8 times the passion, 6 times the boldness. So this boldness here, can you imagine how bold they are to just poison the only son of their husband, the king? The other wives, Ketaduti was the fortunate wife who had the son by the grace of Angara. 4 times the appetite and 2x the desire for sleep. So this is a terrible condition, and this is the natural result of material sense enjoyment, lamentation, angering, fearing, lamentation. So, and all on the basis of illusion, as is explained here. Why is it illusory? Because it's temporary. That means reality is permanent. That is the implication. And of course, those conversant with Shastra know that. The eternal abode is permanent. The relationships there are permanent. There's no soka moha. There's no illusion. There's no hankering lamentation. Everyone is anandamya byasat. They're full of ecstatic bliss. Not this happiness and distress, which is just a titillation of the senses and the mind, which we take as happiness. There's a different state of consciousness. So here it is being contrasted to actual spiritual condition. And Narada and Angira, they're very conversant with the nature of the spiritual reality. So they know, and Angira, he knows that the real interest of Chitraketu is not another son to run around the surface of the earth, the tiny patter of little feet. No. The real interest of Chitraketu is to realize that this material world is a miserable place. Dukalayam asashvitam, right? Dukalayam, miserable, and asashvitam, temporary. And the natural result is that misery, lamentation. Because even if we attain our desired sense object, this woman, this money, this position full of followers, dhanam, janam, sundaram, even if we attain them, they will be unsatisfactory. Because we are spiritual and the material energy is providing that which is material. If we are driving in a motor car and we feel hungry, so we think, I'll go to the petrol station and fill up the tank. Will it satisfy our hungry? Our hunger? Of course not. We're serving the vehicle. Yantra Rudi Mayaya. This material body is a machine made of the material energy. It's demanding our attention. We drive down the road further and we think, oh, I feel thirsty. I'd better top up the radiator. Will that satisfy your thirst? No, you have to go to the Hare Krishna temple and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And understand that you're situated in this foreign vehicle, the material body. Muktir hitavan yata rupam swarupena avavashtiti. What is real liberation? It is to be swarupena avashtiti, to be situated in your swarup, not identifying with the vehicle. You're driving down the road, like you see in Vrindavan, and someone's beeping the horn. Make way for me. I'm a Delhi waller in my big Tata. Huh? And you're a rickshaw waller. That means I'm bigger than you. The society of envy. Huh? Driving like a madman, pressing the horn. Children are playing on the side of the road, but me. I'm the important factor. Everybody make way for me. I don't care about anybody else. This is Kali Yuga. Selfishness becomes unrestrained because of ignorance. So, here, now, as we saw in the previous verse, and Narada and Angira, they had appeared before Chitraketu, it is explained, as avadutas. So therefore in the previous verses, Angira explains, I am that same Angira that chanted mantras, Tavasta, to Tavasta, the demigod in form in charge of Rupa throughout the material universe, forms, and I gave you that sun. But I also said it will be the cause of jubilation and lamentation. Because it is through the lamentation that we realize that this is an unsatisfactory place. I'm driving in my motor car, I fill up the tank and I lament. Why am I still hungry? I buy a bigger motor car or a smarter phone. Actually, phones aren't smart. They're only as smart as the user. Nor are they mobile. They're only as mobile as the user. But we take the phone to be smart and mobile. But a phone is just a piece of dull matter. It's not smart, nor is it mobile. You can put it under your bed and it'll stay there for the next year. So this is the world of illusion. We all have misunderstandings about reality. But Angira wants to take Chitraketu out. Now you're jubilant. Oh, I have a son. Now you're lamenting. He's dead. What does Krishna explain to Arjuna? He's in the lamentation mode, right? That you're not the body, Arjuna. You're transmigrating from body to body. There's no question of lamentation when you understand that. But now that you understand your swarup, your spiritual nature, your constitutional nature, act accordingly, and that will be the cause of your satisfaction, your bliss, your realization of the absolute truth. All these things, King Surasena, he has a gigantic kingdom. It's in this region. It's explained later on that the murderous co-wives, they went to the bath of the took bath in the Jamuna and chanted mantras and performed prayaschit to overcome the mistake of killing the son. It's in this area, Surasena. And it was gigantic. Palaces, opulences, so many followers. Huh? Janam, Janam. If you have opulence, janam, some cash, then you'll get janam. They'll be flattering you. So that's unsatisfactory to the king. I have so many ministers, military power, military strength, but they're all just superficially attached to me because of my material opulence. So I want a son. A son will love me. Jai! Sri Sri Gornitai Krishna Balaram Radha San Sham Sundar Lalit Vishaka Lalit Sri Guru Parampara Gomata Shalagram Maharaj Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. I want a son because he will be a true follower and I will live on through him. Right? And I will fulfill my material desires for happiness and power and position through him. Therefore the doctor wants the son to be the doctor. The musician wants the son to be the musician. They want to live on through their children. This is all illusory because it is temporary. Narada Muni brought back the son through his mystic power, made him appear again before this lamenting assembly. And then he, by his mystic power, he caused that son, that soul, to re-enter the body. And then that soul spoke. Who are you calling me your son? And you're my father and my mother, but I've had so many. I've been in the demigod area. I've been in the animal area. I've been here on earth previously. I've had so many sons and mothers and fathers. And why are you claiming to be mine? What does Krishna say? Aham bi in the Gita. Mata, Pita, Mahapita. I am mother, I am father, I am grandfather. I am Mahadyonir. I am the womb of this material energy. I am the seed-giving father. I am Pitamaha. I am the father. Pitamaha refers to Lord Brahma, but ultimately that is Lord Krishna also. So Krishna is mother. Krishna is father. Krishna is grandfather. That is our only real relationship. Mabai Bhangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mana Shastra Indriyani Prakriti Stani Kashati. The living entities in this material world are my fragmental parts and parcels. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. As it finishes here, today's verse, Manuratha. So this is very clearly put in the first canto, that just like a deer runs after illusion of water in the desert, it's just a mirage, but never attains that water. So the living entity is always chasing enjoyment, is always in the wrong area, but very heroically struggling to attain happiness, because the soul is a hero. Krishna is a hero. That quality is manifest in the materialist even. He's struggling. He's hanging on the side of the bus in Delhi. When you go to Delhi, 500 people on the bus, 200 hanging off the side. Every day, to work in a factory or an office, to get a few rupees, goes back to some hovel, the wife is there, 5 children, I'm happy. No, you're a fool. Because all your heroic struggle is in the wrong direction. The real hero in this world is the person who takes to bhakti. And the real struggle is with the senses and the mind that demanding our attention, that are distracting us from sadhana bhakti, from from realization of the Supreme. How have we fallen into this Gandhava Nagara, this illusory palace? How have we fallen into it? If we actually want to take to spiritual realization, we have to understand the root of our material conditioning. That has been explained earlier in the third canto. The covering of this ignorance, this ignoring of Krishna, is fivefold. Tamishra, under Tamishra, Tamas, Moha, Maha, Moha. We hear illusion here. What is Tamishra? It is the first covering. Tamishra is rebelliousness. If you study Prabhupada's purports and writings and all the acharyas, the root of our material conditioning is rebelliousness against the Supreme Personality, and particularly His supremacy. When we awaken to consciousness, we perceive the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. Whether we accept or reject, that will have consequences. We have Kriya Shakti, we have Icha Shakti. Kriya Shakti means to do. Icha means to desire. Icha and then Kriya. So Krishna's Icha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Krishna's one name of Krishna in the Upanishads is Satya Sankalp. Whatever he desires immediately becomes truth. Satya Sankalp. Whatever your determination, it becomes truth. But we are dependent upon Krishna. When we don't accept that, that is Tamishra. That is envy of the supremacy of the Supreme Personality. Then the next covering is under Tamishra. As a consequence of that Bahir Mukh, turning away from Krishna, we become forgetfulness of our spiritual, our intrinsic nature. We lose our touch. We think we're something other than spirit. The next covering is tamas, ignorance. The pradhan is tamas. It is the chit shakti with tamas. So this forgetfulness of spiritual identity develops then into consideration that I'm a material product. And in this material world, there's so many philosophies developed all the time based on voidism, monism. These are all refusals to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're all different varieties. So many political solutions: socialism, communism, thisism, thatism, feminism, masculinism. That's a new one, I think. Anyway, so these are all refusals to accept the supremacy of the Lord. They're all bahirmukh. They're all ways of turning away and explaining reality. Tamas. So this leads to illusion. Illusion. Bodily identification, and particularly that because I am a material product and this material body, my interest lies in enjoying this body and mind. And then Maha Moha, the fifth covering. This is what Kapildev tells his mother, Devahuti. You get caught up in all the reactions. In order to catch some sense enjoyment, you perform material activities. If you attain it, it's unsatisfactory, and you're tempted into illicit activities, and then they come upon you. So at every moment, you have something to lament. If you attain it or not attain it, the sense enjoyment doesn't satisfy your hunger, your need. What is the Vedanta Sutra says? Atato Brahma Jignas. Now you have the human form, you've transcended Varnashram and so on and so forth. Brahma Jignas, inquire into the Supreme. And what is the Supreme? Janmadi Asyata. is the source of everything. So all happiness, all bliss, that is a factor of the transcendental Lord. But you've turned your back to that source. At the beginning of the Bhagavatam, what does it say? Param Satyam Dhimahi is the end of the first sloka. Meditate on the Supreme Lord. The Param Satyam, the Supreme Truth. But the beginning is Janmadi Ashyata. So everyone will agree that the source of everything is the Absolute Truth. That is logical, right? If you sit here under the tree in the evening, many people will come up to you and say, which country do you belong? Huh? What is your source? Huh? What is your source? It's a natural inquiry, isn't it? If you meet somebody, you say, where do you come from? What is your source? Huh? And everyone says, I'm from Malawi, I'm from New York, I'm from Washington, I'm from Hong Kong. No! This is your illusion. So everyone forgets that. But they forget that the Absolute Truth is Anandamayoi Bhyasat. The next line in the Vedanta Sutra is full of bliss. Anandamayoi Bhyasat. We have a particle of bliss, it's very much suppressed because Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. Our Prem, our link with the Supreme, is not developed. It's like your a smartphone that's got the batteries gone flat. You can't manifest your qualities because you're not plugged in. Huh? You're not in the network. You're not getting any chit-shakti. You're not getting any real consciousness. You're sitting there immobile and dull as a piece of wood. Actually, a piece of wood has got more value. So that is the condition of the living entity. He's sleeping in ignorance. Shravanadi Sutta Chitte Kridayodai. Through sadhana, we can link up again with the Supreme Absolute Truth. We can then plug in to the Absolute Truth. Sadhana Bhakti, then Bhava Bhakti will come. So this is the aim of Angira and Narada. And we see in the Bhagavad Gita with Arjuna's lamentation, we see also here that lamentation, but realization of this lamentation and the unsatisfactory of the nature, of material nature, this is a good starting point. This is when you're getting your real profit. Huh? So the root of our conditioning, we hear there in the third canto, is this rebelliousness against the supremacy. So what is the solution to that? It is there to attack that root, and that is to accept that we are Aṃsa. Krishna has two expansions, Svaṃsa and Vibhinaṃsa. Svaṃsa means his own expansion, and then the Vibhinaṃsa, the separated parts. That is the Jiva Shakti. The Jiva Shakti, Tadastha Shakti, situated between the two, Tata, line, star, situated on that line. You can go either way by exerting your Icha, your desire. But even that desire is operating on the grace of Krishna. That is the purpose of the Chaturvyuha. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. They supervise the thinking, Vasudev, Shankarshan, the willing, feeling, willing, action. The Vasudev Shakti of the Chaturvyuha supervises the thinking. We rest. Everything, sutre mani gana. All our thinking is resting on the Supreme Lord. Then our feeling. Krishna says, manmana bhavamad bhakto. Have this feeling towards me. That is resting upon Shankarshan. Shankarshan is expanded from Baladev, his Guru Shakti. So through Guru Shakti, we are awoken into bhava, into bhakti. And then sankalp, that is under Prajumna. That is how we decide, sankalp, bikalp. And then kriya shakti, we do some action, that is under Aniruddha. That is the child of Aniruddha, it is the expression of our sankalp, our action. So even in the spiritual world, there's a chaturvyuha, ruling, thinking, feeling, willing, and action. And it's expanded again down into this material world, the second chaturvyuha, and they supervise, amongst other things. So eventually Chitraketu will get a mantra from Narada and he will be able to actually see Shankarshan. So, how to overcome this? We must accept the supremacy. But we have to understand, just like in Krishna Leela, the demon killed by Baladev, who's Guru Shakti, those are the ones that we have to struggle with. And Pralambasura, right? Pralambasura, he enters the society of devotees, but he's not a devotee. His aim is to carry away Krishna, but Baladev kills him. That means we have to decide, we have to choose, we have to make that decision, that sankalp. I accept that I'm Angsa, I'm not Svangsa, I'm not the Supreme Lord. We have to renounce all the philosophies in the material world that are just expressions of envy of the Supreme Lord, and we have to take to bhakti. Therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, Sharanam, surrender to me. And then heroically struggle to follow sadhana. So, what is that essential practice of bhakti that will clear us of our residual rebelliousness against the Supreme Lord? That is explained in chapter 25 of the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. So the root is the envy of the position of the Supreme Lord. He is the Ishwara Parama. He is Satchidananda Vigraha, unlimited in opulence. He is Anadir Adir Govinda. He is the source of all things. He is Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. 11th canto, 29, verse 15. For him, actually it should be for he, English is not good. For he who constantly meditates upon my presence within all persons, the bad tendencies of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness, along with false ego, are very quickly destroyed. As we say, Krishna has, he's present in two ways in all living entities. As himself, Paramatma, and as the living entity. The living entity is Krishna, Angsa. The finger is the body. We are Angsa, part and parcel of Krishna, eternally, Sanatana, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, but we are Krishna. All the living entities, whether they're in a animal, plant, whatever kind of body, they are Krishna. So there's no question of being Krishna's devotee if you don't accept this. You will stay Prakriti Bhakta, which isn't really Bhakta, but it's given that because you're accepting the Supreme Lord, and you'll stay on the duality platform of envy. Here this rivalry, envy and abusiveness is very clearly stated. What is this? Rivalry. That means people we take as equivalent to ourselves, we have a rivalry feeling. He's the same as me, but he's getting ahead. This is a reflection of our envy. Abusiveness. Those we consider inferior to us, we abuse them. Oh, you're stupid. Do what you're told. Get things done. We abuse them. And then we envy those that we consider superior. Oh, he's got the garland and I should have. Huh? He's got more money, even between brothers, and I haven't. So envy, we envy those we consider superior. We have a sense of competition with those that we consider on the same level. We abuse those who are inferior. And it's all a reflection of false ego. And it's overcome by understanding that they are part and parcel of Krishna. Disregarding the ridicule of one's companions, one should give up the bodily conception. We already saw in the previous verse, you give up that by meditating upon the Supreme Lord's presence within all living entities. Disregarding the ridicule of one's companions, one should give up the bodily conception and its accompanying embarrassment. One should offer obeisances before all, even the dogs, outcasts, cows, and asses falling flat upon the ground like a rod. Now, it may not be practical to do that in the middle of a traffic jam, especially with the madmen on the road. So, at least within our mind, we should always have this sense of respect. Trinada Pisena, Amanina, Amaninena, giving respect to everyone. Why? Because they are temples of the Supreme Lord, and they are avatar, they are vibhinangsa, they are expansions of Krishna. Until one has fully developed the ability to see me within all living beings, one must continue to worship me by this process. Yes, we worship the deity. The Kanishtadikari, very attached to the deity. But this is the Majjhimadikari, this is the actual platform of Vaishnavism. He worships Krishna within all living entities. And in this way, he becomes free of envy. Purified. One must continue to worship me by this process with the activities of his speech, mind and body. By such transcendental knowledge of the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is able to see the absolute truth everywhere. Majjhimadikari, making his way to Uttamadikari. He sees the absolute truth, but he starts by seeing the Supreme Lord in all living entities in those two ways. Indeed, this is Krishna to Uddhava. It's the Bhakti Yoga chapter. You can read it, 11th canto, 29. Indeed, this is Krishna. I consider this process, using one's mind, words, and bodily functions for realizing me within all living beings, to be the best possible method of spiritual enlightenment. The best possible method of spiritual enlightenment. My dear Uddhava, because I have personally established it, this process of devotional service unto me is transcendental and free from any material motivation. Certainly a devotee never suffers even the slightest loss by adopting this process. So then, Krishna moves on to another point. So, we get rid of this residual envy of the supremacy of the Supreme Lord by meditating upon the Supreme Lord within all living beings. That consciousness of living beings, that is an expression of Krishna. That is the sadhu. That is the saintly person, right? That is Srila Prabhupada. When we met Srila Prabhupada, we could see his compassion. Everybody felt safe in his company because he was full of love, prem. He was seeing the spirit soul, and therefore he was able to wake up the spirit soul. As long as we are thinking friends and enemies, then at best we're Prakriti Bhakta, Vaishnava Praya, Vaishnava Abbas. And this is how we transition from that neophyte condition to the platform of realization. Yes, we can read Shastra. Yes, we can go to Mangalarti. Yes, we can worship the deity. But we have to worship Krishna manifest directly in the hearts of all living entities and as the living entity itself within the bodies of all animals, plants, people, devas, bhutas, rakshasas. This has to be our meditation, and as Krishna himself has just said, it is the best possible means of spiritual enlightenment. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, any question? Sorry, go ahead.
I have one really simple question.
Good. I'm a very simple person.
I'd like to ask if you can describe what surrendering to Krishna means.
Huh?
What surrendering to Krishna means.
Well, there's symptoms, six symptoms are given, but it means that, to accept the supremacy of Krishna. That is the root. And then, with love, O Prabhu, I am your servant, Dasu Das Anudas, Gopi Bhata Kamalaya, to adopt that mood, then the symptoms of surrender will manifest. That means we accept that I am Das, Jivera Swarupoi, Krishnera Nitya Das. I'm eternally the servant of Krishna, and to rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. That is a wonderful thing, to have such a wonderful master. Excuse me?
See, yesterday we see from the translation that was read, but Gita was addressing Chitra Kritu Maharaj, and he's an advanced devotee of the Supreme Lord.
Not yet.
Yesterday. So this morning, when Gita is looking for him, the reason why he don't be with us. So the question I want to ask.
He was the.
The question, I said yesterday, Angira was being addressed, was Angira was addressed to the Prince that he advanced the body of the Supreme Lord.
Who said?
Angira says yesterday, translation, yesterday. So this morning, referring to this morning, translation. So this morning, translation, Angira is looking for him, the reason why he gave devotion to Bhagavad Gita. So my question, should a devotee be crooked because he wants to pass information?
Should a devotee be recruited?
Because he wants to pass information.
Huh? Oh, yes, so you're, yes, of course. When Prabhupada took Samadhi, there was a Back to Godhead magazine, and I always remember one thing, that Tamal Krishna Maharaj said about Srila Prabhupada. He was asked in that magazine that was quoting, what was the most remarkable thing that you remember about Srila Prabhupada? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, well, I could see that even if there was the tiniest spark of interest in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada knew how to fan that flame, that spark, turn it into a fire. So a devotee, that must be the aim. There's no point in discouraging people, putting more fuel on the fire, but rather, as we see here, Angira Muni said that, yes, I appeared, I gave you the sun before, now I'm dressed as an avidut, I'm revealing to you, I'm that same Angira. But then you weren't ready, because you were absorbed. Yeah, that was, you were absorbed, I only want a sun, don't tell me about spiritual things. So the devotee is paradukita, he acts for the benefit of the living entities. So the Madhyamadhikari, the person who is established in Vaishnavism, he is entreated to do four things. One, he should worship the Supreme Lord, he should make friendships with the devotee. The belisha, the foolish and ignorant, attached to material energy, he should give them kripa, mercy, encouragement. That should be the end goal. Not to conquer them, to teach them who's the boss. That's only a reflection of envy. And number four, upeksha. Those that are overly demoniac and envious of the Supreme Lord, he should just be neutral to them. Don't get involved. So devotees, they must make friendship amongst each other in a non-envious way, in this way, understanding everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is a temple of Krishna. And to those that are ignorant of this understanding, this transcendental understanding, he must encourage them. He must encourage them in that direction. There's no point in fanning the flame too hard, or as we say, put too much fuel on the flame. The spiritual master, he sees the spark, and then just like you tend a fire, you poke the fire to make it go brighter, right, to allow the air in. So the instructions of the spiritual master are like that. They're directing the fire, gathering the fuel, making it burn brightly. So when we meet somebody, we must have that mentality. How can I increase their Krishna consciousness? You see? And then according to our intention, Krishna will give us intelligence. We're reciprocating always with Krishna, 100%, every moment of the day and night. And Krishna is giving us what we require, yayayatam mam prapanchan, whatever we want. So if we want to fan the flame, then Krishna will give us intelligence in that direction. If we want to put people down, as you know, the Krishna being a pure, oh, you're, I'm a devotee and you're in Maya. If you want to prove your superiority, then Krishna will give you the intelligence to make an ass of yourself. I mean, not you, but you in that way. I'm not saying, I'm saying in that general sense. Huh? So Angira and Narada, they're doing that very carefully. And we saw that with Srila Prabhupada. All great sages, they're doing that. Huh? They all have this understanding. I have to help this person come to transcendence. So that's the motivation of the sadhu, you see.
Yes.
especially Krishna. He's come in the temple, we have to take care of him. Yes, Ishavasya idam sarvam. Yakinchat jagadam jagat. Yeah, go on. Sorry? Yes, of course. That's very important. That we've just read that that's the best process of living here. So how do we take care? Just like Angira, we may take care materially, but we also want to give that that path of realization. Clear? So we'll finish at this point? All right, one quick question. As expansion of Krishna, Vibhanaṃsa, yes. You didn't hear properly. Yes, everybody is non-different from Krishna, but also Aṃsa, separated part. Separated in what way? Everything is Krishna, yes. But there's different categories, there's divisions within Krishna's energy. That is the monistic flaw, everything is one. And they refuse to see all the differentiality. So the living entity is different in the sense, what is his separation, Vibhinaṃsa, Prabhupada translate. It means that he has independent Icchashakti. He desires independently, he doesn't impose. Krishna doesn't impose his will upon the living entity, act in this way. Now, he may give hints through conscience, don't do that, don't steal this motorbike. Recently there was two motorbikes stolen downtown. Did you hear about it? So people, they do things that in the night, in the darkness, they do things, they know it's bad, but they think, no one's seen me. But conscience is there, Krishna is there. So we should be listening to Krishna within the heart. But the choice is ours. To surrender. You understand? So we have to understand our own ability. Proper architects of our own destiny. You understand? You paint your own painting. Well, that was the class, wasn't it? Present within all living entities. That's the start, because that's the conscious part of Krishna. But then Mahadyoniya, Brahma, even the material energy is Krishna. But Param Satyam Dhimahi, we have to meditate on Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, he's Namo Mahavadanyaya, because he's explained that the supreme object of meditation is Krishna. And the supreme process of meditation is bhakti. And third thing that makes Lord Chaitanya the greatest avatar is that he revealed that there is no better process than that of the gopis, the Brajavasi gopis. They just simply concerned for the welfare of Krishna. But that welfare begins to manifest through our concern for the living entities. That is our introduction to the Absolute Truth. If you think I worship Krishna and ignore all the other living entities, then that is Kanishtadikari. So you have to have both. And that means to help people and to make friendship with other devotees. Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai.